You're dope. Here's an Instagram post. Let's get married.
Dear Shandy. Welcome back to Dear Shandy, listeners. Hello, Andy.
Hello. How's it going?
Not bad. I liked this episode.
Yeah. This was another entertaining episode.
Yes, yes. Your entertainment quotient was met.
Was met.
Yes, for once.
For twice.
Shall we get started on episode 9?
Let's.
All right. Episode 9 kicks off with a new addition to the intro song. We have Lil Jon being slid a shot. I thought this was good.
That was great.
I like Lil Jon. I think he's my favorite host.
He's a breakout star of BIP.
Yeah. And I don't know.
I know that's his finally, after all his work, he's finally broken out as a star on Bachelor in Paradise.
I'm not sure I would have predicted that my favorite guest celebrity host would have been Lil Jon.
Yeah, but it is, to me, a clear winner.
Yes.
With a runner-up, Lance Bass, for me.
Yeah, yeah, same. Lance Bass is a real close second.
He's close, but he's not quite as ridiculous as Little John.
Yeah, Little John.
Small John.
Okay, so we kick off the episode with Joe and Serena. They're still making out, deeply in love. Okay, sorry, not deeply in love. They're both falling in love.
That's right. Watch out. You got to go in order. There's a specific order to
this. Yes. I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay. So they're making out on the beach and they're clearly, I wrote super in love.
Did you actually write that?
They're clearly falling in love.
Yeah. They're not at super in love
yet. Excuse me.
That's like two stages
in the future. Sorry. It's like five stages in Bachelor World. They like to really get each stage.
Yeah. Just like the season. They like to milk every part of every part.
It's true. And we hear Noah in an ITM say that under 50 feet away is Kendall watching it unfold. Mm-hmm. It's pretty rough. Yeah. And it's suggested by everyone's voiceovers here that they think Kendall might be thinking about leaving. So Kendall now talks to Wells. She says, have you ever had to watch your ex kiss someone? And he says, no.
Amateur.
She says, I wouldn't recommend it. And she reveals that she doesn't want to show her upsetness in front of everyone or in front of Joe or Serena to take away from whatever they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was incredibly considerate. Oh, my God.
I mean, almost over the top.
Yeah, almost too.
Yeah, bordering on too considerate. For Bachelor in Paradise, like way too considerate.
Yes.
For life, almost too considerate.
Yes. Okay, so now Kendall asks Joe for a talk. I'm not really sure where this fell in the timeline, but she is wearing the same outfit. I'm just not sure when he and Serena parted ways. But she gets a talk with Joe, and she tells him that it's been hard, which I think we can all attest to from watching it. And he says, I know you, so I could see something was off. And he asks if it's because he's there. And she says, well, yeah, mainly. And she says she always goes back to thinking about how they met there and how it used to be. She says she still feels like he's her best friend. And she says that she loves seeing him thriving and happy, but it reminds her of why she fell in love with him in the first place. So it's hard to see that. Mm-hmm. And he says, are you not over us? And she says, don't ask me that right now. I never stopped loving you, obviously. And then she starts to break down and he pulls her in for a hug and he says, I'm here for you.
Yeah. I understand what he's trying to do, but he's not there for her. He's the opposite of there for her.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting.
And I'm not faulting Joe.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in these situations where there's a breakup and it's imbalanced and someone has moved on and someone hasn't.
Yeah.
The person who's moved on cannot be there for the person who hasn't. That's the last person on earth you want to be there for
you. Well, and actually that's such a good point you're making. And I'm reading this book right now on breakups. And apparently the absolute worst thing you can do from like a chemical standpoint is continue to go where you would get that high, which
of course.
From your ex.
I mean, I'm basically.
So it's proof that you really should cut it off completely.
100%.
Yeah.
And you're basically, what you're doing is you're remaining in a relationship emotionally with the person while they're dating in a more deep emotional relationship someone else.
Yes. No, you're right. That's a good point, because I was thinking, wow, this is really sweet of him. And it, he is doing his best, as best he can.
Oh, he means well. Yeah, I'm not faulting Joe. Yeah. And I've done that before. Yeah, yeah. And I felt bad about it right away. I'm like, wait a minute. What do I mean I'm here for them?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not here for them. Yeah. I shouldn't be here for them. For their sake, I shouldn't be here for them.
How for them should I be here, really?
Right. You should be, wish you the best, you know, and I'm sorry and it happened this
elsewhere.
Way. You know, I mean, what... You're doing damage by being there. But yeah. But that's not the point. He tried his best. Nothing against Joe.
And to be fair, I feel like in this situation, he's the closest she can come to getting someone who can fill that role, because she's not at home where her family is.
Right.
Her twin sister, you know, I don't know how close she is with like Becca or Tia, but it's not the same.
And to be fair, now that you mention that, that's a good point, because on the beach... It is a different environment.
Yes.
It's like battlefield, basically. And he's like, I'm here for you here.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go home, I shouldn't be here for you, and I probably won't.
Yeah.
But here on this beach, I'm going to protect you as best I can.
Yeah.
And I understand that sentiment.
Yeah, totally. So he keeps telling her it's fine, it's all right. And then we see a shot of Tia saying, Kendall upset is the worst thing ever. And
I mean,
I think
World War II is pretty bad. But I agree, it's pretty rough.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about seeing Kendall. Kendall is just such a unique person in Bachelor Nation. Yeah. It is really heartbreaking to see her heartbroken. It is.
And it was
more
very
so
real.
Than other people. I shouldn't say that, but it's true.
It also, you feel the remorse she felt. Because remorse is the worst feeling,
yes.
I feel, that you can have. And she clearly was like, I should not have done this. I thought this was going to be different. Like, you could feel that she not only had... terrible heartbreak and sadness, but also the remorse of making the decision to come there.
And on that topic, I'm trying to make sense in my mind what she could have been offered that would make this worth her while. And I have to assume it was a good amount of money, because said this last week, I hope she made bank, because this goes beyond getting some followers. This is really emotional turmoil to the max. Like, I don't know why you would do this to yourself.
How much money does one need to be paid to watch their loved one make out with someone that they love more than them? What's that worth?
But love is falling in love with someone more
sorry,
than
sorry. Them. Excuse me. Thank you. But I would say I'm going to go 25 grand. Yeah. That's my price.
That's your number.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have more conversation. I don't really know if it's necessary to go over it, but, you know, they say they'll always care for each other. And he says that he wouldn't have come out there if he didn't think it was over between them, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it sort of wraps, but also doesn't seem to. We sort of get the Peanut Gallery's commentary while they hug and then they part ways. And then we hear Kendall. She approaches Tia and Becca and says that she's leaving.
Yeah, that's a very good choice on her part.
Yes. We felt like something could have happened here had there not been cameras on them. Just that extended hug. He held her waist.
There might have been a possible malfunction, relationship malfunction of making out. But who knows?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, if Serena were not in the picture, it would be a no-brainer. But I don't know. Something about the extended hug, the way they were looking at each other.
Yeah.
He was holding her waist. I was like, if there were no cameras, I feel like we would see some XX right now.
At least.
XX, by the way, it can be epic.
Epic, but always a bad call.
Almost always a bad call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But almost worth it sometimes.
Yeah, because it's so hot.
Oh, it is good. There's so much, like, so many emotions like anger and sadness and love and passion and remorse, mm-hmm. all in just, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
It's a hot scene. But they didn't, because the cameras were on them. And maybe they wouldn't have. I find, just because, you know, Kendall's the one I would go for.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with Joe's, just how resolute he is. Like, I'm a little confused. I don't want to harp on this too much, but I'm a little confused how you can turn so clearly on someone you do still love and love deeply, but simply because there was logistical problems. you kind of turned away from. And I get that those logistical problems were probably rooted in something else.
Yeah, and
those
became a lot something to that story else. That we
and
don't
that
know.
Rooted into
yeah,
something
she
else.
She does have a twin sister, as a lot of people have pointed out. Yes. So like, it's not like she was just like, I don't want to be with you. Like, she had her reasons for staying.
Oh, I get it. But mm-hmm. still, I'm watching and I'm like, Kendall's a pretty good package.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
seems pretty cool.
Yeah. And I mean, I share your affection for Kendall. I feel like if I met Kendall, I'd be like, we're friends.
I agree. And I am curious because I know there's some piece of the puzzle we're missing because they're not bearing their entire relationship to yeah. the public. There's some piece of this puzzle we're missing that I would love to know. There's another thing. There's another layer why Joe is so clear and why Kendall is coming back. There's something else going on. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
Well, I also think it really shows the power of meeting someone new.
Mm-hmm.
The power of distracting yourself with someone, you know, how much easier is it to break up with someone when you have someone waiting in the wings?
You don't quit your job until you have a new job offer. That's, you know. But I think that the other possibility that I'm overlooking mm-hmm. is the fact that he deeply loves Serena to the point where, like, he has no eyes for anyone else.
Yeah.
And maybe before he met Serena, if Kendall had come on the island, it would have been like, boom, right back in.
Well, I guess it's a testament to his feelings for Serena. He does say later on at the rose ceremony that this is stronger, which felt like a dagger. Honestly, I can imagine if you were Kendall and you watched that, it would just be like, ugh.
No, maybe I'm just being cynical. Maybe the bond with him and Serena is truly unbreakable.
It does seem really lovely, but yeah, I agree. I know what you mean. It's like we're missing some other piece of this puzzle.
I think.
And we'll probably never know. Sorry.
Unless we invite Joe over for a little chat.
So Kendall tells Becca and Tia she's leaving Paradise. She also says bye to Ivan.
Mm-hmm.
I find it so strange we never got really any of this pairing. Like, they made out. Surely there was a conversation that we could have been shown.
I think it was not meaningful.
Joe says, while Kendall gets in her car, if she truly wanted me back, she should have told me that before I got here and before I started this.
Interesting.
I see how upset she is, but I'm feeling things for Serena at this point.
Interesting statement. Yeah. So he's basically opening the door to the fact that had she told him this before he went to BIP, they may be dating right now.
Oh, I don't feel like that's a secret. I feel like that's
that confirms that belief. It's just, God, what is it? Serena that great? I mean, Serena was the one I would go for first before I left her for Kendall and Mari in between. I've dabbled here and there.
Yeah, I really feel like we're watching play out exactly what happens when the difference between having someone waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
Who you're not necessarily more excited about, but you're as excited about.
Yeah.
And that unknown factor combined with that excitement is it overpowers
it,
2 years of history.
It replaces it completely. There's like an emotional box in your body.
Yep.
And it is now emptied and replaced.
Yep.
And that's it.
Okay, so now Joe talks with Serena and they lay down together and he gives her the rundown.
They lay down together. It sounds like biblical. And he laid with Serena, and then he laid with Mari, and then he laid with Kendall.
He gives Serena the rundown and says that it doesn't take away from what they had that night, because earlier they had said they were falling.
Yeah.
And she's very understanding.
Totally.
She's very soothing.
Yeah.
Yep. She doesn't do anything wrong here.
I think she feels pretty confident.
She feels confident, and I think she also, you know, it's one of those situations where she's done nothing wrong, but I feel like you would just sort of feel bad.
Yeah.
Because Serena's a nice person, too. I don't think that she doesn't like Kendall.
Normal human Canadian feeling she's having.
Okay, so Kendall now bawls in her car while we see a montage of Joe and Serena making out. It kind of goes back and forth.
Yeah.
I had to point this out. In a voiceover, we hear Kendall say, "Joe's my person." But we don't see it come out of her mouth. So I do wonder if there was a little bit of editing here to make it seem like she was less upset about just that being lost and more about it being like, but Joe and I are meant to be together. Because there is a slight difference.
Do we
really feel like Kendall wanted to get back together with Joe? I'm not 100% sure.
Well, the question is, I think really, is did Kendall want to get back with Joe much more after seeing him make out with Serena? And that's a human, like, I don't fault her for that.
No,
that's human reaction.
We know people who have proposed and gotten married to people over that exact emotion.
I know
emotion.
People who are now raising young children because of that reaction.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
Okay. So Kendall does leave. And now we see Ivan, who is sad. And he says in his ITM, I gave my rose to Kendall last week. I definitely probably should have gone a different route. I gotta say, I like Ivan, but the language here seems to revolve more around the rose.
He's getting very gamey.
Yeah, who he gave the rose to and where he's getting his next rose from. Less about Kendall specifically, but I still have a heart. I really like Ivan, so I'm not going to go too hard
but
in that direction.
But the thing is I'm going to go a little harder because at this point in BIP, there's no fresh meat left. It's over. The scraps have been picked over. It's like a buffet that's like old and people have probably sneezed on it. No one's eating it. It's done. And he's still looking for a rose. Like, why? He's just wanting to stay on the show. I don't know what he's looking for. Is he looking like, is maybe like Wells going to turn sides and come out of the bar? I mean, well, who is he looking for?
No, I see your point. It's sort of like, is he really going to find his magical love story at this point when other people are talking about getting engaged? I know what you mean.
Yeah, it seems gay. It seems like he's just trying to stay on the show. But
yeah,
that's
but
fine.
I have a bias towards Ivan. I can admit it. Yes.
Yeah, I get it.
And everyone, meanwhile, speculates as to whether or not they think Ivan will leave. But because he's gaming, I don't think he's leaving anytime.
Super gaming.
Okay, so the next day, Becca does the roundup of the relationships. Serena and Joe, Mari and Kenny, Abigail and Noah, and Marissa and Riley. And Ivan says he's hoping he makes it through one more week to see a new woman come down.
Any woman. Anyone with a head and an X chromosome. I'm good. We're good.
Andy, you said, I find it so funny that it's so hard to find someone in the real world and they're relying on the one next person who happens to come down the stairs. It's true.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, assuming we are to take it all at face value and assume they're sincere.
Or assume that he doesn't have inside information and there's someone he has had his eyes on forever that's now going to...
Someone on his list.
Yeah, the girl he's actually been dating for the last 6 months is coming on the show. And it's Ivan all along.
Okay, now Lil Jon appears and rounds them up for a talk. He says he wants Paradise to be more interesting. I like this. I like that he doesn't beat around the bush.
I think Lil Jon actually wants his job to be more interesting. He's like talking to the producers like, guys, I got maybe one day left in me. We got to mix this up. I'm getting tired.
And I think actually his stay was a lot longer than he would have liked because of that storm.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
He says he wants them all to find love and all, but he also loves the drama.
Yeah.
And he says he's shaking things up. So he introduces Ed and Damar. But I don't really know why that's shaking things up. Because
it's not shaking things up much at all.
We already had two men arrive at the same time.
Yeah, if you had like eight people arrive and half men, half women, that would be really shaking it up.
Yeah. So, Andy, you didn't know who either Ed or Damar were.
I did not.
So do you like it when I give you a little bit of intel on them?
Yeah, make it short, but okay. I would like
it's
to
always
know.
From their Bachelorette bio, by the way.
Okay.
So, Damar, he's a popular spin instructor in Scottsdale.
How do we know he's popular?
Because it said so on his bio.
Okay, I'll take that.
He's an only child. He goes on Starbucks coffee dates with his mom.
Interesting. That's nice.
Yeah. Like his dream job is to be a DJ on the Las Vegas Strip. I feel like coffee dates with the mom. Dream to be a DJ in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he was really rising, and then it's kind of All right. I mean, look, this is something.
Oh, this one might make him go up again. He writes poetry in his spare time, but wouldn't consider himself a poet by any means. So he's modest.
Oh wow, modest and a poet.
Yep.
But also a Las Vegas DJ. Tough one to reconcile.
His dream job.
Okay.
I don't know if he's... I assume he does DJ if that's his dream job.
Maybe it's better to dream about DJing on the Vegas Strip than actually DJing on the Vegas Strip.
Yeah.
So it's okay, I think.
I like Damar, so I'm trying to make this work.
I'm gonna go with liking Damar, too.
Okay. All right. And Ed, he lives in Miami as a healthcare salesman. He is looking to find a woman who has natural beauty without looking overly fake. That's verbatim.
Well, we came to the right place.
Ed's biggest turn on is a woman with beautiful eyes.
Oh, I like that.
He loves all-inclusive resorts.
Interesting thing to point out of the multitude of things in the world. But yeah, okay, nice.
And he has a weakness for women who can joke around and be playful and would love to find someone to enjoy one of his many aquatic hobbies with, like kayaking or paddleboarding.
Okay, kayaking, paddleboarding is good.
Yeah, and he likes a woman who's fun.
That's great. I really feel like I know him deep. Yeah, a real bond with him now. But anyway, I like Ed. Is his name Ed?
Yeah.
Okay. And the other guy's name is Harmon? What? Oh, is that wrong? Starts with an H, right?
Damar.
Okay. It's close. Harmon. I don't know how Harmon came from Damar, but yeah, maybe that's a word scramble. Can you get Harmon out of Damar?
No, you can't.
No, you can't. Not you even can't. Close. There's no H.
No.
Okay. Well, moving on. Now I know these guys very intimately.
So Natasha says her date with Joe, Dr. Joe, got weird and that she's interested in these new guys. And so I guess the consensus is that was over before it even began. Womp, yeah. Womp.
Oh, well.
I don't know. I guess I should have seen that coming. I just felt like we didn't really get that information. Suddenly that was over. Considering all the buildup to Dr. Joe and Natasha, there was a ton of buildup.
Yeah. I think sometimes in editing, they build things up that don't happen, and then they're just stuck with the buildup.
Are you
and
there's saying nothing they can do about it. I fell for it?
You did.
Okay. So now the guys talk to the women. Damar talks to Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Aaron says he's not sweating, but he does seem tense.
Yeah.
I have to say. The police chief. Ed talks to Natasha, and Damar also talks to Marissa.
Oh.
And Becca reveals in her ITM here that the one person Marissa wanted to meet when coming there was Damar.
Oh, dear. Dun, dun, dun.
I wrote, the devil works hard, but Paradise producers work harder. How funny is it that she's been there since the beginning, and the one guy on her list they bring out at the very end.
Amazing. I mean, that's actually evil.
I think the only way you can get cast on the show, especially original cast, is to have a list that coincides with someone else's list. Like, for you to be on someone else's list and vice versa. However, you're pretty much guaranteed that you will not meet that person at the same time.
Yeah. It's really, when it comes down to it, it all looks fancy and fun on the outside to go on Bachelor in Paradise. But what you're really doing is you're volunteering to go on Hunger Games.
Yes. Yeah.
You're like, Hunger Games, that sounds cool. I'm going to do that. Like, why? Do you know how Hunger Games works?
So Ed asks Natasha on the date. She says yes. Shocker. And Damar asks Chelsea. Mm-hmm. And she says yes. And now, while Riley works out, we hear Marissa express a few reservations about Riley. Mm-hmm. Rather surprisingly. She says, talking to Damar, I realized I'm missing a few things from Riley. And she says he's great with his actions, but not so much with his words/verbal affirmation.
Ooh.
Which, by the way, she did say she needed on their first date. Just want to say that. She cries in her ITM that she's afraid of pushing him away with that conversation.
Oh.
Which I think is a very realistic concern.
Sure. Doesn't want to rock the boat. It's
exactly.
Nice
she doesn't want to be difficult.
Yeah.
And I something about their, I mean, everything about their relationship is very real, but I really appreciated this concern of hers because I think a lot of women can probably relate to that, honestly.
Oh, totally.
And I'll get to it later, but I think her execution is on point.
Flawless.
Damar and Chelsea and Ed and Natasha now go on their double date where they paint each other. And the focus here is definitely on Natasha and Ed. It seems Damar and Chelsea have a nice time, but we later on learn that she wanted it to be over sooner than later so she could go talk to Aaron again. So the focus here is definitely on Natasha and Ed. And I thought it was cute how she painted him. She really gave him abs. I guess he has abs. She painted his abs.
She painted his abs well.
And she also painted him, his body.
Yeah.
And he says he wants his face painted. She refuses. I thought this was all, I gotta say, surprisingly cute. I don't know if I would have put them together.
No. I mean, I think they're together by force, but still, it works somehow.
It really does. So back at the resort, Dr. Joe plays the ukulele.
Quite well, I might add.
Quite well, yes. Yeah. And Riley and Joe discuss who Natasha would go for, and they both agree she would go for Ed over Dr. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And back on the date, I love we have no comment on that. No. Yeah. Natasha and Ed have surprising chemistry. In her ITM, she calls him funny and that he has depth as well. And she says she's excited about him.
Nice.
Okay, so Abigail and Noah, he surprises her with a hammock and margaritas. It's so funny to me when the women are like, I want more from the guys. Because like it's not like he had to source this hammock or make these margaritas. I feel like the effort level is so low to make a gesture. And so it's all the more pathetic when a guy on this show doesn't make that effort. For example, Blake with Tia later, but we'll
get there. So all you have to do, aside from occasionally eat hors d'oeuvres and maybe get a drink, is to make effort with women or men. That's all your job is.
Yep. Yeah, and a lot of them seem to fail at
it's
that.
It's literally like
say.
Going out on a fishing trip and you're just sitting there and your rod's next to you. And they're like, what are you doing? We're on a fishing trip.
That's a great analogy. Yeah.
It's like pick up your rod and just drop the bait in the ocean. What's the problem? Like, oh, I didn't realize. I thought the fish just jumped in the boat.
Yeah. Anyway, so Noah surprises her with a hammock that he hand knotted and margaritas that he certainly blended himself. Mm-hmm. And he now narrates the situation on the beach and how Joe and Serena have admitted they're falling in love with each other. I love what a topic of conversation that is.
Yeah.
And Andy, you said here, everything is so transactional. Like, it's true. They're keeping track of who said I love you and who said they're falling in love. I've been pointing this out in my recaps for a long time, but it is so true. This sort of like, it's a like
business.
A ladder.
It's a business. And I'm not going to put all the blame on Bachelor in Paradise. I think in general, the world, because of social media, has become this kind of commoditization of love.
Yes.
Where it's like transactional from the first swipe. Till the time you propose. There's a lot of kind of transactional, commodifying social media steps.
I completely agree. Even right down to the first post.
Yeah.
The first time you go public with your relationship.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. Are you going to post about Instagram?
Yeah.
Like,
or
are you doing that yet?
That.
Like, no, we're not there yet.
Yeah, even...
Like, where is that?
How many times have we gotten a question on the pod about, you know, a woman is dating a man who... They've been dating for 6 months or a year and he won't ever post about her.
Right.
And then that's a factor too. That is a whole other layer.
And the funny thing is, he's wrong for doing that, but it's wrong that he has to do that.
It's so
true. Or
vice
versa.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It's all wrong. Like, why are we put into this world where we have to like basically ladder step our love on social media?
Yep.
It's not good.
No, it's not.
I've spoken about this many times. This won't be the last.
You have spoken. Okay, now Kenny gets a date card. And he takes Mari, surprising nobody. And here, we get our first word watch. After several weeks in a row of zero.
Yeah, we hit some good zeros.
Yeah, now we're finally back in business. So Mari in her ITM says,
there could be an engagement here soon, very soon.
So theirs is a cooking date where they make tacos with a chef. And it was really cool to see Mari just switch into Spanish here. I always think it's cool when you watch someone just switch languages and they're totally fluent.
I'm always so impressed with quadlingual people because I'm really we're both a little, you're good. You speak German, I think, pretty well. You'll be modest about it.
And German's not very good.
But you're an opera singer, so you have a little more practice
in
other languages.
I have French and German, but I'm not even close to being fluent in either.
But my point is that I, definitely me, and a little bit of both of us, have trouble with languages. We're not natural language picker-uppers.
Yeah, I want to be that person, and I'm okay with diction, but the grammar of another language is, I think, probably more challenging to me than a lot of other people. I just feel like some people, they just pick up languages.
I'm telling you, there are brains that do language and there are brains that don't. Well, I do English great. I'm good at English. I speak English well.
Good job.
I'm good at this English, you know? I'm good at English.
I read somewhere once that if you're like from your youth are raised with two languages, that it unlocks a part of your brain that can pick up other languages. So from the get-go, not only do you have those two languages, but you can pick up a third.
Absolutely.
Fourth. So they're making tacos and plating them on each other's naked bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some funny black box work here. I guess you can't see the side of a butt cheek. So Kenny, when his hand was up, it was black boxed. And Andy, you marveled not only at the good-looking tacos, but also the advanced box work, especially when Mari got up and laid down.
It was incredible. It turned from a rectangle to a trapezoid, an oblong trapezoid, and then it was like angled. It was the most amazing box work I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And by the way, can I just add how amazingly hypocritical it is for there to be boxes covering her nipples, but there's nothing wrong with a man licking
crema,
like white cream off of a woman's naked body. That it's just hilarious.
No, I know what you mean. There is a sort of...
Well, I'm not offended by each. I want to make it clear that I don't care if they never use the black box ever. Obviously.
We don't care about that.
I think Americans are crazy about this stuff. But it's so funny
that
that's totally fine. Sucking whipped cream off toes, licking white cream off of a woman's naked body. But God forbid... You see a nipple, the thing that gives milk,
or the
lifeblood to an infant,
Or the side angle of a butt cheek.
The which side everyone angle has. Of a butt cheek. When you go to the beach, what do you see? You see a million butt cheeks.
Yeah. And this is funny how this ended up wrapping. Kenny is fully on top of Mari and like licking food off her and kissing her. And out of nowhere, the chef reappears and says, good taco. And he's like, and then he dismounts.
And then there's a lot of taco jokes, of course.
Where, is that a joke? Talk someone's taco?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow. I don't know where I've been.
Yeah.
Is a taco a euphemism for vag?
It sure is.
It sure is. Okay. Did not know that. So back at the beach, James is still trying to woo Tia. He presents a one stoplight painting representing what Tia had said about her hometown of Wiener, Arkansas, saying that it's a one stoplight town. And he has a painting of the Manhattan skyline because he's from Manhattan. And Andy, at this point, you jumped in to say, I'm telling you right now, that guy ain't from Manhattan. And then that spurred us to do a Google search. Most outlets said that he had spent a lot of time in San Diego. And he was born in London, England, and his father was born and raised in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So I mean, he has New Zealand citizenship, which is pretty cool.
It's pretty damn cool.
But I'm trying to figure out where Manhattan fits into all of this.
I'm not saying that he didn't go to Manhattan after college and, you know, work there for years. That's totally fine.
Yeah. Well, is it his accent or his behavior?
As someone who was born and raised here, it's like the same way if like you're in like some tribe somewhere and you know your tribe people.
Yeah.
Like
I have to admit, you're amazing at this.
He's close.
Yeah. Wait, so behaviorally, do you think he could be from Manhattan? It's hard to say. Since when has anyone rated themselves on this show?
Yeah, my Spidey says there's no way this guy was raised in Manhattan.
Okay.
But have I ever been wrong on that? I don't know.
No, you've never been wrong on this.
No, I've never been wrong.
But we do think James is really classy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Almost too classy. He's a district attorney.
Yeah.
It's a very, very prestigious position. I think that James might have bitten off more than he could chew with this show. I mean, now he's deep into the franchise. Mm-hmm. But I honestly think James came because there's no question in my mind that James did not come to the Bachelor franchise looking for love. And I'm not faulting him for that at all.
I don't know. I can see maybe how he is because he doesn't seem to be doing that well with women on this show. Considering they're coming out on a fucking silver platter.
But maybe he's just uncomfortable doing this on television.
That's also a real possibility.
I get the feeling that James is a perfectly respectable ladies' man in his own environment.
Yeah.
I think that he underestimated how contrived and bizarre it is to woo women on national television.
Yes.
And I think he is very aware of it mm-hmm. throughout both his Bachelorette season and this Bachelor in Paradise season. And I credit him for that.
Yeah.
He's a human being.
Makes me, honestly, it makes if that me is like the case, it makes me like him more. Yes.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
But I do not think he's from Manhattan.
Okay. So he asks Tia here about Wiener. Mm-hmm. I wrote he asked her about her wiener. He asked her about Wiener,
I mean,
Arkansas.
It's pretty amazing to be from Wiener,
yeah,
Arkansas.
It's
I had
great.
No idea
it's
there was any
true, really.
Place in America called Wiener.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that it's from Arkansas makes it somehow even more funny.
She says it has a population of 700.
Small-town
that
girl.
She went to college 30 minutes away. And that she recently moved to Nashville and she always wants to be within driving distance of home. He, of course, is asking her all these questions. He's like, oh, Nashville, that must have been a big move. And I was impressed. Like, he really made an effort. He was listening.
He you know what? On this episode,
James
finally
really,
became a contestant on Bachelor in Paradise.
We really liked James in this entire episode,
he
I gotta say.
Did a great job, all up and down.
Yeah, up and down, and we'll get back to that more later.
Yes, we will.
But he gets a kiss out of this nice gesture.
Yeah.
And I wrote, where are the questions for James? I hope they were left on the editing room floor.
Mm. He did get a thank you.
He did get a thank you, but he asked her many detailed and thoughtful questions, and we didn't see her ask him one. And that's a peeve of mine.
I know.
But I'm hoping that it just got cut because a lot of the stuff does
I'm going to give
cut.
Her the benefit
yeah,
of the
Yeah, I
doubt.
Do like Tia in general, so I'm going to bet that she did ask him questions.
But it's possible she didn't.
She says her heart leads her to James, but her vagina leads her to Blake. This
so
is in an ITM,
this,
by the way.
This is like, what, the seventh mention of her vagina?
Yeah, I suspect that the vagina mentions were across two ITMs and they're really milking those.
Mm-hmm.
And she proceeds here to have a conversation with her vagina about this.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, I think Tia's going to
possibly look back and possibly regret focusing so much on her vagina.
So Kenny and Mari, now in the evening, he toasts to finding something he didn't even know he was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And he says in his ITM that a wife and kids has never really been his priority, but he feels different with Mari than with anything else he's felt in his life.
And I don't want to make this all about me, but I'm just saying, let's not forget who called this.
Oh, yeah, you did call this.
I'm just saying this to remind people. 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year. We really...
1 year over under.
Yeah, and the only reason I'm betting against you is just for fun, because I actually do think they have staying power, too. He says, I was all about you immediately for some reason. Mm-hmm. I can't pinpoint exactly what it is about you. And she says, aw. But I got to say, because I'm the kind of person that's so obsessed with specificity, this would not suffice for me.
No.
I don't know what it is about you. There's something about you.
Let's just say that the thing that he's talking about might have some similarity to the game Pin the Tail on the Donkey.
Anyway, she's moved by this. I know I would need more specifics about why someone's into me, but what do I know?
But I agree with you. He needs to step up his work.
Well, literally, he says, cheers to finding something he didn't know he was looking for. He says, I was all about you immediately for some reason, and I can't pinpoint exactly what it is about you.
You know what? You know what? I'm going to just say some people, it's chemical and you don't need
Well,
reasons.
It's definitely chemical here. They have insane chemistry. And he says, I know we've sort of started talking about future and what does it look like? And like, it doesn't scare me to talk. Wait, sorry. There's another like in there. I know we've sort of started talking about the future and what does that look like? And like, it doesn't scare me to like talk about stuff. Taking notes for this show is fun, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. That's straight out of Shakespeare. That's truly the birth of love, that statement.
And here we get word watch number two, a second engagement. Kenny says,
obviously, right around the corner, you know, there's the engagement part of this.
And he says, you know, I think we might have to start talking about that kind of stuff. Wait. You know, I think we might have to start talking about kind of that kind of stuff soon.
He's good with words.
He says he's really happy. She says she is too. And in general, he seems really awkward when talking about this stuff. Well, he manages to say all this with pretty much zero eye contact.
You know what it is, though? Kenny, look, I like Kenny. And I think that his heart is in the right place.
Yes.
And I just think he's never really been in this situation. He is on live, not live, he's on national TV.
Yeah.
I'm going to give the guy a lot of benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And again, to reiterate, he is forced into this compartmentalized commoditization of love.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, I see that we're probably going to skip steps two and three and move to the third step. We're going to have to start talking about it. It's like a business.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we got to start talking about the engagement, you know, like this is on our schedule.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, there's an actual schedule.
Right. So it's like he's put in a weird position and he's already a guy who's probably not great about expressing his emotions
openly
in this situation.
Says,
he's never met a girl who he's really felt this way about. Yeah. I believe him.
Yeah, you can tell he struggles with these conversations. And I make fun lightly because I do really like Kenny
as
well.
I'm a fan of Kenny.
Yeah.
Up and down. And there's a lot of up and down.
He says, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know how you feel, but I do feel like I am falling in love with you.
Yeah, there you go. He got it. You got there. It doesn't matter what came before it. He landed.
And she says she feels the same way.
Yeah.
And now we have word watch number three. Kenny says,
boom. That's what drives me to really want to consider the engagement part of this.
And he reveals to Mari that he never says this. And the last time he used that word was with his dog. And some song comes on now.
Mm-hmm.
We get a montage of couples canoodling.
I was sure this was Olivia Holt.
It was not Olivia Holt. We Shazammed it to make sure.
Yeah.
And Kenny and Mari head to the Boom Boom Room. It's all very romantic.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, Marissa and Chelsea now chat. And Marissa says, this place sucks. It's hard. Mm-hmm. She expresses frustration and says, today it made me feel good when someone said they came here for me. Because Riley, I suppose, has never expressed that.
Yeah.
I had to point this out, though, just because I'm such a stickler for this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. She's saying this to Chelsea, who DeMar went on that date with. So she's revealing to Chelsea that DeMar told her that he came there for her.
Indeed.
And is indirectly telling Chelsea that, I don't know, she's a second choice or something. I just had to point that out.
Yeah, that was, I think that was sloppy on her part. I don't think she meant to do that at all.
Yeah, I think she was just venting and was upset, but yeah. I found that a little like...
Yeah, she dropped a little too much tea there.
Yeah, but Chelsea doesn't say anything because she's classy like that. Mm-hmm. And she says, I've never felt the way I feel with Riley, but I need more from him. She says that they got much closer during their date. I mean, that was, they had just met that day. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't verbally express anything about how he feels about her in the day to day.
Yeah.
So now Marissa talks to Riley in the boom boom room.
You know, it's, by the way, it's never a good sign for having sex when the whole camera crew comes into the boom boom
room.
Yeah,
I wonder if he went in there with high hopes. Yeah. He was like, oh, wait.
Yeah, it was like, wait a minute. Hold on a second. There's supposed to be a hidden camera. I don't recall there being a crew in
here. Supposed to be. She asks how he would have felt had she gone on that date with Damar. And yeah. He says he wouldn't have liked it, but she wouldn't have known that.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes issue with this.
Yeah.
I think this conversation goes really well, I've got to say.
She's a pro. For someone who's never gone on a date,
yeah,
apparently,
I know.
She's a pro.
He says it was a strange feeling watching her talk to Damar, mm-hmm. and he wasn't as okay with it as he thought he would be. And she asks why he's closed off, why he doesn't express these things, and he says it's difficult to explain, and she says, it's okay, I want you to.
Yeah.
In general, she's very gentle,
calming.
Very loving, calming.
Yeah.
And he says, as badly as he wants a family of his own, his family situation isn't great, and his parents got divorced when he was young, and his dad did not treat his mother well, and that his dad kept him and his brother from his mother, and he hasn't at this point spoken to his dad since he was 21 in about 10 years.
Mm.
And he says he's been trying to figure his father out, and that he was a regular guy from the east side of Detroit trying to make it in this world and to be there for his family. And he says, quote, he just didn't know how and nobody was there to. And then he breaks off here because he starts to cry.
Yeah.
He says he hates talking about this, and she kisses him and says, talk to me. And he says, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. He's the little engine that could.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
It is. I got to say, this scene was incredibly
heartbreaking
moving.
And sweet.
Yeah.
It was possibly the most real moment I've seen on this franchise in some time.
Yeah. I mean, Riley...
By some time, I mean a long time, just to be clear.
Yeah. This reminded me how much I loved Riley. On Clacia's season, he did open up about his father there too. And I think that he is, you know, you can tell that he has worked his ass off to be where he is today.
Yeah.
And these moments of vulnerability where he does let his guard down and does become a softer man in what I can only imagine a world where he's had to be very hard
forced,
is really impressive.
Been forced to have this veneer.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you know what? I'm going to drop it. I'm going to drop it on national TV. Mm-hmm. All my buddies are going to see it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm doing this because I care for this girl. And she was just dropping such like comfort, such ASMR level comfort on him. She was making it so easy. It was just such a great conversation.
Yeah. He says he thought they were so different, meaning he and his father, but he realizes he and his dad are actually similar. And he now talks about his mom and how they're in a good place now. And he would love for Marissa to meet her. And he says that his mom would love her. And he says he has been in love before and he can feel himself going in that direction with Marissa and he's scared.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marissa is really moved by this. Yeah. And then with some difficulty, she says she's falling in love with him and he says he is too. And in general, they're over the moon and super, super cute.
Yeah.
What a fantastic, productive conversation.
In the boom boom room of all the places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine betting on that outcome. That's like a 50,000 to 1 shot.
Yeah, you could just tell this brought them so much closer. She got answers she needed as to why he is as closed off as he is. He, oh my God, like I feel like he broke through a wall that he's been holding up for himself. I just love them. And it's I got to give Marissa major props for how she went about this conversation.
Yeah.
She didn't go at him like, why don't you tell me this, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I think that really does matter, the execution.
Yes.
Now it's raining in paradise and there's anxiety over that evening's rose ceremony going around. Mm-hmm. And Serena narrates now, and we see montages of the happy couples. Once again, we see Thomas and Becca kissing. We've seen this a lot.
Why
but we
have
never
we seen no development there? And she's a former bachelorette.
I know. I don't
Why?
Understand.
What's going? Is it so good and normal that it's not interesting? Like, they're like, oh, that's a healthy relationship. We don't want to deal with that.
Historically, they wouldn't show it because it doesn't go anywhere. For example, Kendall and Ivan...
It's hard for me to believe that's not going anywhere.
It's same. Anyway,
they're like doing the kid. You know what? This is and this is very specific.
Yeah.
But when you're having a normal conversation with someone and you're having like these kind of kisses that happen in the middle of a conversation without much fanfare, that's a really good sign that you're comfortable with each other. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like you're just having a conversation. You're like, yeah, so what are we doing today? And you're like, kiss. And you're like, yeah. And you keep talking. Like if the kissing becomes almost like just
second nature.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I saw some of that with them in one of the shots. And I was like, these guys are solid.
Yep. They're super comfortable with each other.
Yeah. And I'm a little, you know, of course, I'm a little jealous. You know?
Because of Thomas.
Yeah. But it's okay. I'm happy he's found happiness.
Yeah. Anyway, we are desperately missing more footage of them. And we don't ever get it in this episode, I have to point out. So now producer Louis arrives to tell them that a tropical storm is coming and they need to pack up and evacuate paradise. Mm. And Andy, you said there's finally a literal storm in paradise. This is obviously milked a lot. Everyone is seen wondering if paradise is over. Mm-hmm. And Kenny says that he said to Mari, am I going to see you again after today?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
It seems a little, I mean, you know, it seemed like a big storm, but also like, are they really going to just like end it right there?
No.
And I got to say though, the best part of this was that they left cameras on the beach
we
and we got to see
footage.
Some fantastic storm footage. You loved that.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping for more big waves.
We love storm footage.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. If you got any good storm footage, send it our way.
Okay, so now everyone returns with little fanfare. Mm-hmm. It seems the storm went through. Paradise was not ruined after all.
Yeah.
Or over. And what I got to say I would have wanted to see was more camera footage of them at whatever hotel or wherever they went.
Yeah. Where was that? Were they all separated, like it's sequestered, like it was some like O.J. Simpson trial?
There,
or was
something
they all in the same place?
Something is said later that suggests they were separated, but okay. I have to imagine that the women were at least were together somewhat. Anyway, Lil Jon tells them to go glam up because in 1 hour, it's a rose ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
A daytime rose ceremony.
Yes. Because Lil Jon can't spend another 3 hours on paradise.
Yes. So now at that rose ceremony cocktail party, Lil Jon arrives and he asks who has said the L word. He's heard it's been thrown around. And Joe says, present. He reveals that he and Serena have said the L word to each other. And Lil Jon says to Tia, you've got James and Taddy Daddy. And that after that rose ceremony, one of them is going to be a Saddy Daddy. And with that gem, he pieces out.
Yeah. Again, unceremoniously.
So now Tia approaches Blake and Damar at the bar. And she's pretty direct here.
Yeah.
About the fact that I suppose Blake has made zero effort to pursue her since their date. And I mean, it's never a good sign when you have to say this.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I have thoughts about this. I'm conflicted.
Do you want to wait to get there or do you want to
I'll let you, go ahead with the narrative.
He says there's nothing he wants more than to leave with her. And she says, show, don't tell.
Yeah.
And I wrote, yes, girl. She says she wants to be chosen and pursued. And in her ITM, she says, I've been in relationships over and over with dudes who don't care. They don't fucking care. And here's the one chance. You know it's a choice between you and someone else and you can't even try.
Yeah, she's
not
right.
Wrong.
No,
yeah.
She is right.
So now she and Blake go talk on a daybed. And he says that they haven't had a legitimate conversation since their date. And they talk about how he should have just talked to her at some point. And she says, show some initiative and just frickin' do it.
Yeah.
And Andy, here you said, it's over. You didn't say it like that. That's just me doing your voice.
Is that my voice?
Yeah.
I think I was more matter of fact.
Yeah. He says all he cares about is her happiness. I don't care about anything else, he says. I don't know how much more clear I can make that. And he says, every conversation I've had with you, I've told you, like, I want you. I will do anything. And she says, but words only go so far. True. And he says, if you would just tell me what you want from me, I literally would do anything in the world. And she cuts him off with, you say that, but all I needed was for you to act like you give two shits for 2 seconds when we first got down here. That's it. So to me, this was our little giveaway that I think the men and women were separated because she says, when we first got down here, I guess this is the first opportunity they have to be together.
Right.
Okay. Do you want to discuss?
I think that she is 100% right.
Yes.
And Blake is clearly like completely drowning. And he's like, it's harder than hitting a major league fastball. He's finding out pretty quickly talking to you about this. But he has no answer. I just thought that Tia was dropping some baggage that she has from other guys on him, because it's not like they were in some really intense relationship at this point. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like the very beginning of something, and she was kind of between two guys. And I get it that she's angry. I think she unleashed a little too hard on him.
You know what stood out to me about this was how relatable I think this probably is. And again, we get questions all the time for the podcast along the lines of, he says this, he says this, he says he wants to be with me, he says he'll do anything for me, blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't really correlate with his actions.
Right.
And I think this is a huge problem in dating today. And probably, it's probably honestly an age old thing with men making all these promises and just letting a woman get carried away by those words. Yeah. And then being confused when his actions don't match up.
100% agree.
And so I really loved, honestly, how hard she went at him, because I think that this, it really represents, it was like a microcosm for what dating looks like for a lot of women right now.
Oh, I totally agree. I just feel like he might have been a sacrificial lamb. Like he was the guinea pig for this conversation. There had to be somebody. Tia had the right amount of rage about this, but he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Okay, so I would agree with you, except some of the stuff he said, I was like...
Oh, yeah, it was like, not impressive.
I'll do anything. Literally, all I want is your happiness. Tell me, I'll do literally anything in the world. The fact that he will so casually and just in a moment of defensiveness drop that kind of like hyperbolic language suggests that he... probably is one of those people.
Yes.
They have only been on that one date. Is really the only thing he cares about her happiness?
It's so
absurd. Unlikely. It's unlikely that he would do anything in the world to appease her or to be with her or to leave with her. So I feel like she wasn't wrong, but I agree. I do think that it was a little like, it was heavy-handed. But because I know this is such a problem in dating today, it was just delicious to watch.
Oh, yeah. The men in the world deserved that speech.
Yeah.
I don't know if Blake fully deserved it in that point in time.
I suspect, though, he probably
did. He probably did. You're right. You're right.
Okay, so he gets pretty defensive here. He says, I don't care about anything but you and I's relationship.
That's it.
You and I's relationship.
His family's no longer important. All his hobbies. This is it now.
Mm-hmm.
It's all Tia.
Also, you and I's relationship.
You and I's. You and I's relationship. It's like what I like. You know what I'm saying?
He says, like, all I want from you is a conversation. That's all I need from you and all I want to give you. It wasn't like I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do something special because I don't fucking care. I obviously care. Like, I want to talk to you in a real setting. And she cuts him off with, well, this talk is not going really great. I mean, all I want from you is a conversation. I have a hard time believing they couldn't have had that conversation.
Is it possible that Blake just wasn't that into her and now he feels bad, so he's trying to make it seem like he was to get a rose? Like, I'm not sure what the dynamic is here, but it doesn't seem like Blake... The problem I have with Blake being the scapegoat here is that I'm not 100% sure that there was a full reason. I don't know the whole background. We didn't see everything. I don't know that there was a huge reason for him to go out of his way to profess his love to Tia. Like, maybe he wasn't that into her. Or maybe Tia was more into, who's the other guy?
James.
Sorry, James. You know, who knows what happened?
Yeah.
But I think what may have happened is that he suddenly was being yelled at hardcore by a woman on Bachelor in Paradise. And he was like, I got to make myself look good here. So he sort of scrambled for like, I love you more than anything in the world. I do anything, but he didn't really mean it.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible and fair that maybe he just wasn't that into her?
Well, I think he was resting on his laurels because
I think
he was probably into her a reasonable amount, but not especially. And he was resting on his laurels because he thought Rose was in the bag.
That's a good compromise. Yeah. He wasn't that into her, but he was into her enough that he would have liked to get a rose and maybe make out with her more and whatever.
I just have a hard time believing that if you're really into a woman that you make so little effort.
Right. I feel like that he was resting on his laurels and not super into her.
Yeah, like both.
So maybe kind of being a little standoffish was the right move?
Well, I see your point. You're kind of making the case, which is like, don't lead her on.
Right.
Because maybe he is, maybe the next woman coming down the stairs is someone who was on his list.
And, or maybe he thought incorrectly that Tia was on board with the kind of like half-assed, like, let's just give each other a rose and, you know, move on.
That's true.
You never know. All I'm saying is national TV for a guy who to begin with, probably is not great in these situations, is a tough spot to be getting suddenly really scolded by a woman. And I think that he might have just scrambled for like the most obvious, like, I'll do anything to stop this conversation.
Yeah. Anyway, so this kind of wraps, and Blake says in his ITM that the conversation went terribly and that she blindsided him.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the word blindsided, Andy.
That will be our word for next week.
Yep. The word watch word for next week will be blindsided.
Not blindside.
Oh, really?
No, not blindside. Only blindsided. The past of blindside.
Okay.
And again, the winner who will be randomly selected amongst the many people who pick the number of blindsided that there will be will win
a Hello Tushy bidet. Yes. Again.
Again.
Yeah. Hello Tushy has been very generous. And so there will be another Hello Tushy bidet being given out as a prize.
Yes. I will not be happy until every butt is clean on the East Coast of America.
Only the East Coast?
We'll start at the East Coast and okay. Then we'll see what happens.
Okay. Now, Tia goes and sits down with James and tells him thank you for making an effort, and they make out. And it suggested Blake can see, but
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if she did this intentionally to make sure he could see. Yeah. So, and Andy, you said she really demands what she wants. That works only like 1 out of 3 times. Do you stand by that?
Yeah. You have to, if you're demanding something too heavy, there might be another reason why you're in a position where you're demanding it that heavy.
Ooh, that was deep. That was deep. You know, I think there was a nice contrast between how Marissa went about a similar gripe with Riley, not quite the same, but a similar-ish gripe with, of course, it had a lot more history versus this.
Yeah, she said, why are you so closed off? Yeah, why aren't you telling me things? Yeah. No, she was just like, let me make you comfortable because I know this is not something you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
Now tell me.
You're right. For someone who has so little experience dating, she does seem to know what she's doing.
She's a pro.
Yep. Okay, so now Ivan talks to the police force. Ivan says it is what it is about the fact that he's most certainly not getting a rose that day. And he says he's not trying to take anybody else's rose. He says if someone else comes down, that's his only hope. And Aaron says, I respect that, bro. And now Aaron and Chelsea talk. Aaron does this runway. He sets up this runway for Chelsea. This is actually a really cute idea. And he does his runway walk for her. And meanwhile, we hear Ivan say, I feel like Aaron's trying to do what he needs to do to survive. I don't really know if he's into Chelsea, to be honest. I don't think Ivan likes Aaron.
And I was,
and then this becomes confirmed later in the episode.
I was very confused because there was a lot of smiling and bro exchanging.
Yeah.
And I thought that there was something there.
I'm not super surprised. I feel like Aaron and Ivan are very different people.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Like Ivan was not embroiled in any drama on his season.
Ivan is not a member of the police force.
No.
He works for like Greenpeace or something.
He doesn't police other people's actions.
No.
Almost to a fault a bit, like when Brendan was doing shitty things.
Yes.
He didn't police his friend.
He does not get involved.
No, he does not get involved. And so I can see how if you had to coexist with someone like Aaron, you might be like,
Yeah.
So Chelsea tells Aaron here on that day bed that during her date with Damar, she hoped it would end semi-early so she could return to talk to him.
Damar's got strong game.
So Aaron loves this. Remember, Aaron,
oh,
the first question he asked Chelsea on the date was, so what was it about me that made you pick me for this date? So he
asks questions.
He eats this up. She says she gravitates to him, and he says, and by the way, this is incredibly delivered with zero eye contact, not one bit of eye contact.
Nothing.
He says, you're beautiful and you're great and you're sweet and full package type deal. So I want you to know that I know that.
He's literally talking to a car.
Full package type deal.
Yeah, he's talking to like an Audi that he's in the shop buying. This is what he's doing.
I wrote, I'm not sure I buy this relationship. And I think I feel the way Ivan does about Aaron's intentions with Chelsea.
He is going, either he's got serious problems on how to engage with a woman.
Yeah.
Or he's just going for a rose. Which is, he's going for a rose.
He's going for a rose. And Chelsea fell in his lap.
Fell in his lap.
Yep.
Again, I'm always suspicious. And I know all the people they pick are all very attractive and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always very suspicious when there's one person you need to come on the island the beach, whatever. And that person happens to be this person that you immediately fall madly in love with.
Yeah.
Out of the 7.5 billion people on earth, this just happens to happen like this. I'm always suspicious.
Good point.
Unless it's someone you're dating, in which case I'm not suspicious, in which case you're a scumbag, but whatever.
So Ivan asks to talk to Chelsea now.
Yeah.
And she says she's wanted to talk to him and that they're homies. And he kind of laughs awkwardly at this. And then she says, oh, I didn't mean to friend zone you. Like he kind of, I wonder if Ivan accidentally puts himself in the friend zone too quickly with people.
Yeah.
It kind of, I'm getting that vibe.
Maybe, yeah.
Meanwhile, James and Aaron watch on. Crucially, I'm not sure Ivan is aware that they can see them.
Yeah, I don't think he purposely, if anything, he might have tried to get away from them.
I suspect that he didn't know that they could see them, and then he noticed them later on because yeah. Aaron was like watching like a hawk.
Yeah.
And maybe at that point he was just committing.
Yeah.
He was just going to be that. He wasn't going to try and find another day bed to kiss her on. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, Chelsea fishes for his thoughts on her with a subtle, have you ever had a thought about me? She pulls an Aaron.
She took it right out of Aaron's book. She learned.
And he says, at the end of the day, you're dope. I'm definitely, you know, interested. You never know what can happen. It's your decision. You get to give out the rose. Is this what dating is today?
I don't know. I mean, certainly it is what it is on BIP, but I'm afraid it might be what it is everywhere.
I'm a little distraught that this represents in any small way what dating looks like in the real world, where guys are just not really saying how they feel. They avoid eye contact. And the woman's like, do you like me? And he's like, yeah, you're dope.
Yeah. Yeah, you're dope. Here's an Instagram post. Let's get married. That's it.
Okay, so now Ivan and Chelsea kiss.
Can I just say one thing here?
Yeah.
Nothing against Chelsea, but this is the classiest two-time I've ever seen on BIP.
Chelsea
just two-timed Aaron, like in the most, she's like so nice and sweet and classy and like just, she's just totally two-timed him.
Yeah.
And believe me, if anyone can get two-timed, I want it to be Aaron. But still, I mean, wow. It was quick.
So Aaron...
And then now think about how Harmon... Well, sorry.
Damar.
Think about how Damar feels. That he was like her refuse to Aaron, and now Aaron is the refuse to Ivan.
So Ivan and Chelsea kiss, and Aaron points it out. And I was dying here because James looks over and is grinning the whole time. He's looking and he's like...
James is really winning a lot of points in this episode.
James says, I mean, you knew Ivan was going to leave it all out there.
Yeah.
And Aaron says, bro, he just lied to me. Like, what is he doing? He's never talked to her one day in his life until today. While James is openly smiling.
The whole time he's looking and laughing. He's like holding in a laugh. He's so excited.
And James says, he's rose hunting, bro.
Since when does he outgrow him? This is a rift in the structure of the legal system of BIP.
And Aaron says, I know, but he's such a little fucking bitch. And James openly laughs. And you can tell James doesn't mind Ivan.
James, I think, likes Ivan. And I think James is growing weary of Aaron.
Yeah, maybe he's gunning for that police chief role.
I think a couple of people are gunning for that role. We'll talk about that later.
And Andy, you said, I've got to say, Ivan's doing the right thing. You know, okay. You could say what Ivan's doing is shitty and what Chelsea is doing is shitty, but it goes to show the power of likability.
Yeah.
You know, when we look at Chris versus Brendan, the power of likability, in this case, it's applying. Like,
absolutely.
I am not annoyed that Ivan did this and Chelsea did this because I find Aaron a little like...
Oh, yeah. If Chelsea and Ivan were totally unlikable and Aaron was super likable, this would be like almost a Chris level infraction. Almost. Not quite. Not even close.
No, you're
but
making...
in the same neighborhood.
Well, yes, it would be a similar betrayal.
Yeah.
Not at the same level, but yes, a betrayal of sorts. And this is a betrayal of sorts. Yeah. But I don't know, something about Aaron, it's delightful to watch him experience.
He asked for it. Come on, even Aaron knows he asked
for
it.
Well, here's the thing. There's no way he really cared about Chelsea. I don't believe it.
And he didn't care about Tammy either.
No, he did not.
I don't know what Aaron
cares
about.
And I don't think he really
about.
Cared about Becca either. He didn't ask her a fucking question.
You know what Aaron
cares said.
About? He cares about his job. He has great work ethic as a police chief. And I respect that.
So I understand that we're being a little hypocritical by not going after Ivan and Chelsea in
this way. Hypocritical, but I'm standing by.
Well, and everyone is hypocritical.
Everyone's hypocritical, but you also have to be likable. You have to make friends. You have to do things that make people say, I'll give you a pass.
Well, and it's true. Versus like Survivor, where likability is so powerful until it becomes too powerful and people then want to kick you off because you're too likable.
Right.
Here.
You can be too likable.
There's nothing to lose from being likable.
100%.
Yep. Okay, so now Ivan and Chelsea walk hand in hand to the bar.
Yep.
And James says, tell him how you feel, bro.
James is sitting there eating popcorn. He doesn't give a shit.
And now Aaron in his ITMs calls Ivan, quote, a little bitch boy.
Yeah.
And says he's, quote, built like a chopstick. I'll snap him in half. Mm. He confronts Ivan. And the best part here is how James approaches, like scratching his head.
Yeah.
He's just like, okay, I guess I'm along for the ride. And Ivan, by the way, isn't having it. I wrote, he's certainly not very Thomas about this. No. He does not fall on his sword.
No.
He gets up in Aaron's face and says, what are you going to do about it?
Right in front of the police chief's face. He walked into the precinct, said, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to the chief. Yeah. The chief comes out and he says, what are you going to do about it? He wants his job. Ivan's going for the police chief's job, and I think he's about to take it.
I gotta say, this was pretty delicious after Aaron likes to be like, oh, you know, I'll beat him. He has this language he uses where he's gonna fuck people up, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna beat him up. He's built like a chopstick. I'll snap him in half.
Aaron's a verbal bully.
He's a verbal bully.
He's constantly talking really hard shit about people who don't really deserve it.
Well, and if, let's say, the person does deserve it, then it resorts to this place of like, I'll beat him up. That's the language he uses. Right. But that's why it's so delicious, because he can't do that here. He'll get kicked off.
Well, and get kicked off, he'll be hit with a felony.
True.
It's like 10 million people are watching you kick someone's ass unprovoked. Are you kidding me?
Well, and that's why it's amazing that Ivan, fully aware of this, is like, what are you going to do about it?
Exactly. Exactly. What are you going to do about it on national TV, sir?
Yeah. And then that's where...
But I do believe, not taking any credit away from Ivan, I think if there was no cameras and this was in real life, I think Ivan would have done the same thing.
I agree.
Yeah. I think it came from a real place. I don't think Ivan I think he's a tough guy. I think he's ready to go. He's like, you're wrong. I'm right. Let's go. If you're talking so much shit.
I could be giving Ivan too much credit. I can admit that. Okay. But I will admit to my pre-existing bias for Ivan. I suspect that he actually likes Chelsea and doesn't want Chelsea, you know, doesn't want her to be wooed by someone who he knows is not into her.
Oh, I think you're right. And he may like her just mainly as a friend. He may just
respect
her. That's
also possible, yeah.
And be like, no, you're not here for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And I am going to stand up to you, police chief, Aaron.
Well, then in that preview, there was something to suggest that he and Chelsea... May had some talk or
had a talk
up
in the forbidden zone after the storm.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find that out next week. But I don't know. Maybe I'm giving Ivan too much credit, but I suspect that there were sincere intentions and it wasn't just about getting a rose.
Can I tell you something? If I was in totally Ivan's shoes, I don't care how I felt about Chelsea. If Aaron, who's always, look, he's the police chief. He's constantly, everybody's wrong. Yeah. Everybody's there for the wrong reasons. But Aaron is... as clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
If Aaron clearly called me to the beach to have a talk, and it wasn't like he was like, hey, Ivan, can I just pull you away for a second? Yeah. We can chat. He probably would have gone.
No, he was like, Ivan, come here.
He was like, get over here. We need to talk. Yeah. Like, no, I'm not going to respond to that kind of questioning. You want to talk? Come over here. We can talk. I agree with him. I would have done the same thing.
As
Ivan? What are you, just like a puppy dog? Like, okay, Aaron, I'll go talk to you and get scolded. No.
I'm torn because, okay, on one hand, you could say Aaron has been kind of screwed. You know, he was with Tammy from the get-go. She cheated on him with Thomas. And then when Becca came along, he was fully single. He never betrayed anyone to go for Becca. And then Becca went off with Thomas, and then Chelsea comes along. Really, in terms of paradise betrayals, Aaron is pretty squeaky clean. But it goes to show how unlikable his other isms are.
Yeah.
He's just so righteous and is always... It makes you not want to root for him.
Yeah, and I also don't buy his... I hate to say it. Maybe he's like this with everybody he meets, but he doesn't... The connections seem very superficial in gameplay. Like, I don't buy that.
I agree. And same with Tammy and same with Becca.
Yeah, and if I was on the beach with a guy like Aaron, who I thought was always kind of bullshitting his way through these relationships, and I liked a girl and it was his girl, I might do the exact same thing Ivan did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's where the episode wraps. Andy, your word watch. There were a total of 3 engagements.
And there were 128 correct guesses.
Wow.
And of those,
yeah,
we picked one.
Yeah.
Randomly.
Do you want to say it?
And her name is Kelly Minnelli.
Kelly Minnelli, congratulations. You have won a Hello Tushy bidet. And so please email us at dearshandy@gmail.com to claim your prize by Friday, this Friday at midnight. And we will get that out in the mail to you.
And can I just mention, like, it was totally randomly picked, but it's a pretty good name.
Kelly Minnelli, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations on your Hello Tushy bidet and your great name, Kelly.
Both, yes.
All right, Andy, finally, the Who Would We Go For segment of this recap.
Well, since my lady has left the island.
Yes.
The beach. I am going to crawl back to my old flame, Mari.
I don't blame you. Mari, I mean, Mari is, she's classy. I like Mari. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't have any issue with that.
So you approve?
It's not that I obviously approve, but I also see why. I think Mari's beautiful, and she, there is a slight discomfort in being there that mm-hmm. I really like in her. It's ever so slight, but it's there.
Agree.
Okay, for me, I struggled a bit with this one. I mean, I should stick with Dr. Joe, but we didn't really see much of him. He was surprisingly good at the ukulele.
You might say that he didn't try hard enough to tell you how he felt.
Yeah, he definitely didn't. I'm going to go back to Ivan this week. Just because it was delicious to watch him stand up to Aaron, and Aaron has, you know, had issues with people, and he did do a shitty thing, but I also can admit to my bias for him, and I just think he's kind of having a little fun out there, and I see it and I enjoy it. It's making this show more interesting for me. And I also think Ivan is very cute and smart. So I'm going to give him my rose this week.
I endorse this choice. And I'm happy you guys are back together.
We both went back to old flames this week.
Well, you know, this doesn't usually happen on Bachelor in Paradise.
This is true.
So we're really breaking the mold here.
We are. All right, Andy, do you feel ready then to wrap this recap?
I do.
Mm-hmm. All right. If you guys enjoyed what you heard today, you know what we will ask of you. And that is to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, follow us on Instagram, tell your friends, leave us iTunes ratings and reviews, and generally do all... Wait, was tell your friends this?
I was getting a little confused. Yeah, tell your friends just grab their boobs. That was supposed to be mouths. Yeah, screwed that one up.
Tell your friends and leave us iTunes ratings and reviews, and generally do all the things you would do to support and keep alive a podcast that you enjoy and consume. And on that note, I think that's a wrap for this recap episode of Dear Shandy. Thanks so much, and we will see you next time. Bye.